I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
So, I had a moment.
You had a moment.
Where? Walking, we were minding a dog, Italian Greyhound. Which, when you walk down the street, gets a lot of attention, but also doesn't... You don't look... If you're walking it by yourself, just one guy and a dog, you don't look... It's not like you've got a Rottweiler or anything.
No. Tangray.
You're not doing anything for you.
No.
Tough points. And when it goes to the toilet, it doesn't do a lot.
It's only a small thing.
Like
a cat?
4 jelly beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not that you want to be thinking about a dog's... Tangray hands poo this time of day. Anyway, so walking down the street, and then Slater goes, I didn't bring a bag. And I said, that's all right, I'll do the old fake hanky, which is you lean down with your hanky and you pick up something right next to it, but it looks like it's like sleight of hand.
Well, like a magician.
Like a magician. Sleight of hand. It appears that you've done the right thing. So she does one on the right on the nature strip. I do the hanky sleight of hand, and then I turn around, and there's the owner of the house looking at me through the cracks in the fence. So I've gone, oh, the evidence is there. So I grabbed the moment and went, g'day, mate. Haven't got a bag, have you? He goes, yeah, no problem. And so it turned from being what could have been.
That's good.
Haven't got a bag, have you? We just forgot. He goes, yeah, no problem. And then he went and got a bag, perfect size. Picked it up, got a little bit of shit on my finger. Don't you hate that halfway through a walk? Bit of shit on your finger?
Well, I don't have a dog, but I would assume that's bad. I know that's bad.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you... Anyway, and then you got to find a rubbish bin. And it was rubbish bin night, which was good.
You chucked in someone else's bin?
Of course. Yeah. Wouldn't chuck in my own. And but what turned out, it was quite a nice moment. Then we had a chat, and he goes... He actually said, I will take it. I will take your dog poo... And
what a good man.
And I said, mate, you've already gone above and beyond. I've let the dog crap on your nature strip. I've pretended to pick it up, and I haven't. And now you give me a bag. No, your work is done, my friend. Have a good day. Happy New Year to you.
Wow. Anyway. What a good neighbour.
Yeah. Are you a good neighbour?
Well, yeah, I know all my neighbours. Yeah, yeah, we've got pretty good neighbours.
If I remember, your street's quite wide, isn't it? Do you know the ones right across the road?
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have kids, so...
Oh, there's your connection.
Point. There's a connection.
Is your place more of a bit of an open-door place? Is it kids wander in and wander out? Or it's like, if you want to come over, you've got to knock on the door and say hello?
You've got to knock on the door.
And what do they call you? Mr. O'Neill?
Yeah, Dave. Some of them call me. But, yeah, we don't... There's not a...
My day, you had to call them Mr. and Mrs., didn't you?
I remember that. But, yeah, it's a shame, but the kids don't seem to play with the kids in their street. They're sort of a different... The ages are not right, you know what I mean? Like across the road used to, there used to be two kids across the road, but they sort of moved. So, yeah,
so, but because with you know, online, you can have friends all.
Oh, what happens these days is that kids come over for a play date, but the kid doesn't live near your house. They live, you know, in the same suburb.
And then what's your window of your play date?
My play dates are so annoying. 2 or 3 hours. They love an impromptu play date. So say like Thursday night, you ping your kid up from school and then your kid will go, can I have a play date with Jerome? You're like,
play date's got a name.
A play date with Jerome.
What a mushy name.
But then sometimes when a kid gets dropped over from the play date, there's a lot of the mum or dad will give you a whole CV of the kid's eating habits or, you know, it's like... Okay, you've got to remember little Jerome's gluten-free, fructose-free. he's also becoming a vegan and, no screen time. That'd be good.
In our day, what was it? He smokes mini blue.
Yeah.
give him light beer and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, you would just go to a kid's house. You wouldn't even meet the parents.
No.
Well, they might be in the background wandering around.
Yeah.
But no, we were like swingers. We were just sample
swingers?
Kids. In our day, we used to sample kids. We go over to the Johnsons, we play with a kaplunk, then you move on to the next house.
You play kaplunk.
Kaplunk, remember kaplunk? It was a game, a board game.
Yeah, I remember kaplunk.
Mousetrap.
Mousetrap.
Oh, great.
Hands
games.
Down?
Didn't have hands down, had twister.
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 Have you got a trampoline at your house
now? You know what? It just broke on New Year's Eve. The kids were playing on it, and it bent.
So you're probably best to.
It's an old school. You remember my sitcom Dave, the one that I lie on in it? Mm. It's that trampoline. It's like an old school low level trampoline without a net. So if you break your arm on it, you break it in two places probably. It's a good old school one.
We went for a walk the other night and there was a kid out the back in on his trampoline. And the problem with the trampoline, depending on how you got it set up, is you can go quite high.
Yeah.
This kid's going quite high and he's in the nude.
Woo!
I got to be honest. Wouldn't feel bad.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, it's Jeffrey Rush, isn't it? Shine on the trampoline.
Let's move on from there. That
image has got a different image now.
Yeah, nah, music, please. Save us, Sam, please.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Somehow Related with myself.
Somehow Related. Dave O'Neill, Glenn Robbins, sitting here.
Work.
Yeah, look, we're all on CSI, and part
like
of
Holmes and Watson
solving the murder is that we go, we have this and we have that. How are they related? Which will then solve the crime.
Like Petrocelli or Kolchak, one of those guys.
Or like Columbo. One more question.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's getting a.
Sherlock Holmes? Have you watched Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock Holmes?
As my partner said. It's a bit preposterous.
Yes, it is. It's enjoyable though.
And look, if you give in, you'll go, okay, yeah, no worries.
You've got to give in to it. But it gets a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, we are those people.
But they're very good. They do a good job. Don't get me wrong. So what happens is Sam gives us two topics. And you're welcome to join us on the journey to investigate why. And we'll have a shot. We could be right, we could be wrong. I would say, what's our percentage rating? I'd say we're
50%, maybe 40%.
We're never that wide of the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
What are the topics?
Nike and waffles.
Ooh. Oh, love a waffle. I can't remember the last time I had a waffle.
Well, I don't think we're a waffle. I think America is a waffle nation.
But there is a cafe near my house that does waffles, and the kids often get them. And they are beautiful.
Now, a waffle, if I'm right in saying, is
kind
a pancake.
Of, kind of like a pancake.
That has pressed, not pressed, you pour it into a mould, don't you?
Yeah, like a Jaffa line.
And then you go on top.
Yeah.
And then how do they get it out? Is it hard or soft?
No, it's sort of hard, but it's like a soft centre.
And then you pour gold syrup and ice cream,
cinnamon they have ginger and stuff. Well, this one has some sort of compote. Is it like a berry compote?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
And, of course, the little square holes hold all the goodies in there. So it's like...
Is it American or... It almost feels Canadian waffles.
Sam?
Who invented waffles?
Who invented the waffle?
I'd pick it being Canadian, but it could possibly be an American thing.
Mm.
I mean, there's nothing greater, though, when you get it. Did you just have a Jaffle machine?
Jaffa line, yeah, absolutely. Oh. Sam?
Waffles were invented in Belgium.
Oh, they're Belgium, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's Belgium. They're punching above their weight. They also invented French fries.
Well, that's got to be number one. How did that happen? Okay, guys, listen up. We'll have a meeting.
Yeah.
I'm getting the potatoes. Yeah, we all know potatoes. Yeah, what is it now? I'm chopping them up. Oh, hang on. This is interesting.
What are we doing?
Into what shape? Halves? Quarters? No. I'm going to go like finger size. Oh, this is interesting. And I'm going to put them in oil and I'm going to fry them up.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, round of applause. That's good.
I'm impressed that the Belgium sound like Aussies.
That's because I can't do accents. But I'll tell you this.
We're going to fry them up.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it was a French, because they call them French fries, but it was actually Belgium apparently. There's different, and they reckon the soldiers brought them back from World War II to America. They learn off the Belgian people.
Oh, they saw how they chopped up potatoes and wrapped them in oil.
Yeah.
Because I reckon when you go out for dinner, as each meal comes out, everyone goes, ooh, that looks good. Mm. Ooh, that looks good. And at the end, the fries come out and everyone goes, ah. Yeah. Everyone goes, yeah, hooray.
Fries are good.
Now we're talking.
Yum.
And, you know, like they go in a cup. They're handy. I'm going to say they're probably the greatest... what would you call it? Fast food, the greatest.
Greatest fast food invention ever?
Yep. Except, the only thing I don't like is when people eat McDonald's chips, they posture their mouth ready to receive the clump of chips. They go like this.
Oh.
kind of poke their tongue out a bit. You're going, no, just go one or two at a time. One or two. Don't get gross on
you. Keep your eyes on your fries. Yeah, remember that hamburger used to steal them?
Okay.
So, we're not talking about fries. We're talking about Belgian waffles. Waffles.
Yeah, waffles would be sweet. I don't think there's a savoury waffle, is there?
I've never had a savoury waffle.
And from what I can gather, can you buy a waffle machine domestically?
Yeah.
And do you pour it onto a plate and then take it, or is it Clark come over the top?
I think it comes over the top. That's how a waffle iron works, pretty sure.
And then it goes, psh, and then it's in there.
Cooks.
And then you flick it out probably with a little knife or something. Yep. And then you apply things.
Got a beautiful waffle. Okay,
we've got that. So that's...
Beautiful waffle.
Okay.
No wonder Americans are fat. They're eating that.
Now, Nike has come up on this show before.
Yeah, because Just Do It.
Which was the Oklahoma, some murderer said it
before he got executed.
and some guy goes, that's a great slogan.
Hey, I'm going to use that.
That's a great slogan for running shoes.
But Nike, the swoosh is interesting. I remember reading about the swoosh, how the guy who invented Nike paid like a graphic artist $20 to do it, and they came up with the swoosh.
Oh, isn't
it? Like $40. But then they got compensated later in life, apparently.
Yeah, but you know.
Still.
Realistically.
Imagine if you got 4 cents for every swoosh sold.
Yeah.
You'd be loaded.
What is a swoosh? Is it?
It's a tick. You know,
I know what it is, but is it inferring something?
I think just sort of movement, running, a tick. I don't know. Huh. A young graphic artist came up with it, like a student graphic artist.
It's funny how like gives you validation. Because you can buy a piece of sporting equipment.
Yeah.
And if it's got a logo on it, you go, oh, I'm pretty
Nike.
Good.
Nike.
If it just says tennis racket
or
cricket bat, you just go, well, I'm not.
But if it's a Sharon football.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Or in my day, these have tennis racket pro only. And you're going, well, you go to take it to the counter. Excuse me, mate, are you a pro? No, I'm not. Well, you can't buy this tennis racket. Only for professionals.
He's got a pro racket, that guy. He's very good.
Oh, he's good. He must be good. He's got a pro racket.
At my kids' school at the moment, there's this bit of this fad where the kids get soccer gloves, goalkeeper gloves. Dad, I want some goalkeeper gloves.
Because you do.
What? Just catch the ball with your hands, mate.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I've seen
them. When
the
you
World
put
Cup.
The gloves on, you feel
important. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These kids, you see them at school, you're like, oh, check out the kids with their goalkeeper gloves. They're cute. But that was always a thing at school, where some kid would bring the latest football or have the latest shoes. It was a big thing, wasn't it? And you know what's the worst thing? When your mum would buy you the cheap Kmart knockoffs.
Yeah.
So when they were like, you know, as kids we wanted Levi or Lee Strauss or Fabergé.
Yep.
Then mum would go to Kmart and get the...
I know.
I think they found out. She used to do a song, jeans. Jab Jeans. Yep. Jab Jeans. They used to do a song about it called Jab Jeans.
I remember it's
Mum, don't make me wear. Please don't make me wear those Jab Jeans.
Baked beans. Heinz put out a competition when I was at school, and Colin Seary went into it.
Oh, we've heard this before, and he won a football.
He won a pair of Adidas football boots.
That's
which
right.
Was the ultimate. And what did he say to win?
Don't test me. He said,
after a game of footy, there's nothing I enjoy more than some baked beans. I'm going, brilliant. Why didn't I think of
That's
that?
It's just simple.
So simple, and he won a fair... Because Adidas football boots were like...
They were the thing.
They were those three stripes. And still today, it still validates. You put those on and go, I'm a contender. I'm ready. I'm off.
Adidas, Puma, Nike. And then there's been a few other ones like Assisi's sort of the... Oh.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to a gym for a very short time at a personal trainer, and he kept saying, you've got to get Assisi's... I don't know what he's talking about. That's some new brand, Assisi's runner. You've got to get these special runners, mate. I was just wearing like...
Volley.
I wore Dunlop volleys. They became trendy for a while.
For a while, except they're not good for flat feet.
No.
There's not enough arches.
And they are the shoe you get when you go to prison. You get a Dunlop volley.
I know, we've talked about this before.
I know, I've been to prison. I've seen it. They do have Dunlop volleys and green track suits. Someone actually, did you see this? You might not have seen this, but someone took a photo of a guy on the train in his prison gear. And they said, is this, because they do all wear the same.
He escaped.
No, what happens is that they get out, but sometimes they don't have any other clothes.
But they don't give them the clothes.
They give you your clothes back, like in movies. But the clothes, some guys get arrested in like a tracksuit and all the clothes are so disgusting or whatever, they get thrown out.
Yeah, right.
So this guy was on the train just wearing his prison gear.
Oh, God.
And then a social worker put a thing on saying, well, this is actually quite an actual problem, is that guys get out of prison and they don't have any other clothes, so they have to wear their prison gear. on trains and people get alarmed. Like, but most people wouldn't even realise. Unless you've been in the prison system like I have, you wouldn't realise that that is actually prison gear.
Isn't that where the having your pants nearly fall down came from?
Yes. Yes, which it's a prison. It's a prison.
That a prison. Look, yeah, I can't. Look. I don't have a belt because I might do something untoward to myself. Therefore, my pants fall down. Therefore, I'm tough.
That's why rappers started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, rappers started wearing their tracksuit pants halfway down their bum. And that's why you go to, like, you know, Perth or wherever in a shopping centre in the middle of nowhere with kids with pants hanging around their bum. Because of prisoners in America.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Oh, you know what I watched quickly?
There you go.
I watched Jeff Ross roast. You know Jeff Ross, the guy who does the roasts in America, the comic? He's a Jewish comic.
No.
He wears a hat and he does all those roasts. Okay. He's the guy just...
Right.
He would come in here and ping off you and me and Sam. And anyway, he does a show in a prison where he roasts prisoners, which is just the funniest thing.
Is he walking a fine line?
Oh, man, he's walking such a fine line. Because he can be quite vulgar, but quite funny. He goes to a guy in a wheelchair. What did you do? Did you mug someone in a wheelchair, mate? he's just hammering people. But he has a real sensitive side where he goes to all these prisoners. He goes, I've done bad things. I know you guys have just made a mistake at one point in your life. And he talks about that you miss your kids and all this.
Yeah, he makes it a bit.
Oh, he's smart. Yeah.
Do they have? Anyway. Can they go online in prison?
No, it's no computers.
So we're not hurt in prison.
No. Oh, well, so. Unless there's no, they get access to computers in the library, but they don't have a phone or a computer in there. They don't get the internet, basically.
They couldn't get the internet. Surely,
no, they don't.
Yeah, surely.
They don't.
Yeah. Anyway, if someone's just got out of prison, we're just sending a little cheerio.
Good on you.
And if you're wearing your inside gear, so be it.
So be it. It's live. Now, what do you want to ask me?
How do you reckon... I'll just put this in your head. I'm working towards an answer here. How do you reckon you make runners?
Because I'm looking at... In a factory?
I don't want to give away my answer, but is it... Is it like, because in the old days they'd have a bit of iron and they'd drag some material across it and then they'd stitch the things on.
Put a bit of cushion in there.
Yeah. I'm looking at the waffle iron.
The waffle looks like a waffle looks like a sponge, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, anyway, I don't want to give my answer until we have some thinking music. Mm. Have you got anything yet?
I'm getting somewhere. Should we have some thinking music?
I don't know why I saw this. Because, you know, here's how when I get up in the morning, what I do. Mm. I've got my favourites up on my computer. I've got the news sites.
Mm.
Then I've got YouTube.
Mm.
And then you click on... Then it has all the stuff that recommended for you. And for some reason, a Nike ad in India came up and the music was really good.
Oh, well,
and I think it was
that.
A bit of rap. It was like...
Try to find that. Don't you hate it, though, when you go on, say, a Netflix or whatever site and it goes, these shows are recommended for you, and you're like... I wouldn't like that show. Why don't you tell me I'd like that show? For some bad show you don't like?
And you reckon that...
You know, like Miami CSI. I wouldn't like that. Why would I like that show?
Because you liked. Is that what it says? Because
you
liked. Yeah. And why... But then they do back it up. They give you a name. Because you liked...
Oh,
it
annoys me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like a lot of documentaries about the royal family. So so I'm going way off.
Whoa.
Yeah, gee. What was I going to say? Do you reckon when you go to a bookshop, I don't know why I'm saying this, when they go, these are the top 10 sellers, do you reckon they're really the top 10 sellers of their books they're just trying to get rid of? I reckon that. I'm just
trying to get rid of them.
You just made that up. That's not really number one. How do you know it's number one?
I think in some shops they make it up, but because it's all automated these days in terms of sales on computers,
you reckon it's legit?
So like the
I don't reckon they can be bothered changing the number.
For example, I think the Barefoot Investor did sell a lot of books.
But it was so it was always up around the top.
Which I've got to say, I'm not taking financial advice from a guy who lives in Romsey, which is like...
It could be a really nice place for Romsey.
Well, whatever. I'm going to take advice from a guy living in a penthouse in Toorak or Double Bay.
But
I don't want to take advice from a guy who lives in the bush block.
I leverage the guy in the city because he uses someone else's money now. Guy in Romsey, no debt.
What?
Guy in Romsey.
I could afford a house in Romsey. Mate, if you anyway, whatever. He's done very well.
That book, I tell you what, they should make into a film.
Oh,
that's huge. I don't know why Howie hasn't got a TV, buddy.
I know, franchise off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. People. Anyway. My mother-in-law bought and gave it to me, and I read it. I'm just like, oh, this.
Was it sort of 101 stuff?
It is.
Because you're independently wealthy. Multinational, aren't you?
Of course, I own several houses and boats.
Yeah.
But the thing that got me was that he said you should. when you get to close your housing loan down, close your housing loan down, which is bad advice because you should keep your housing loan open because it's the cheapest interest rates you'll get. And then you can use that to buy shares or buy a car or whatever.
We've got him on the line here, Dave. You might want to take him on with
Scott
that.
Pape. You wearing any shoes? It's bad for my health. Da-da-ding, da-da-ding, bada-boom, bada-bing. Now let's go. Da-da-ding, da-da-ding, da-ding. 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 Let's go.
There you go. I think it's called Butter Bing or Did a Ding or something or whatever it's called.
I liked it, Sam.
Whatever it's called.
So, what's your answer anyway?
I'm going to say, because I get this image that someone's sitting there, they've got a waffle iron. Because, you know, it's like the guy you just heard about the guy, you know, getting the electric chair, heard it, went, that's a good idea. I reckon he was sitting at home, he got a waffle iron, and he works for Nike. And he goes, he hears it go, and he goes, if we just pour the molten rubber in, because you can have molten rubber, can't you? You can pour rubber, can't you?
Yes.
That way we could make the shoes in a press rather than making them in a production line. We could pop the shoes, something like that.
Do you think it's got something to do with the waffle iron?
It's got something to do with the waffle iron, the way they made the shoes.
Right.
In a press rather than by hand or whatever.
Okay. Fair enough.
What do you think?
My connection between waffles and Nike.
Oh, here we go. Get your pens out. Here you go.
I've got no idea.
Oh, you've never said that before.
I know. I've never said it before, but I'm trying to think of a connection between waffles and Nike. All right. I think the...
What came first then? I'll ask you that. Do you think Nike. Do you think Nike was sitting there and saw a waffle? No, hang on. Because waffle can't learn anything from Nike. Nike has to learn something from waffle.
Okay, we've got that. Or I think maybe the guy who invented Nike, he's... first business was a Waffle House and it went broke.
But is that a relationship?
Yeah, if the guy invented Nike, that's all I've got.
Fair enough. For the first time.
I don't really have anything, but maybe...
That's a fair answer.
He was a failed entrepreneur.
Yep.
He became successful.
Maybe that he made some money from Waffle Iron and he made a lot of money and then he went, I really don't want to do waffles.
I want to do Nikes. Yep. I want to do shoes.
It wasn't for...
What is the answer, Sam?
Bill Bowerman, one of the founders of Nike, used an old waffle iron to create the trade for an early running shoe. It went on sale in 1974. Other options were considered like running spikes, but these were tearing up the new athletics track at an Oregon university, and Bowerman needed to find a new tread for their shoes. It was successful, a signature retread of Nike shoes. The original waffle iron used for the first pairs was lost until 2010. Find a link in the show notes for more information.
So there we go, waffle tread. The famous waffle tread.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, I remember waffle tread.
Do you remember those shoes you could get? Oh, again, we're going to go back to
Bar Scout. Are you going to say?
What else was I going to say? The tyres.
Oh, yes. Treads.
Treads.
Treads. They're made of old tyres.
Yeah, yes. I mean, imagine that in the boardroom. I've got an idea. I'm going to make old tyres into shoes. Stupid idea.
You're an idiot.
I quit.
Now, remember Barter Scouts used to have footprints, like bare footprints on the bottom?
I had a pair of those. And a compass. In the heel.
A compass.
The compass didn't last that long.
No.
It got squashed pretty early on. But you were guaranteed to be beaten up if you wore Barter Scouts to school.
Yeah, no, no good.
No.
No good. No.
Anyway, so... waffle iron, waffle tread, obvious. He was having breakfast and he's looked across and gone, oh, that'll do for my runners. And so there's no science in that. That's incredible. If you'd looked at the footprint of an animal and gone, I might steal the old tiger footprint. That's smart.
Treads are interesting, aren't they? Because when you think about it, you sometimes need tread on something on a slippery floor. Like I've got a shoe that's a slippery... and sometimes you slip on it. But if you've got a shoe with a tread, it does help.
I suppose what
I'm a big fan of treads now that I think about it.
Good for cornering.
Well, what about when you go to the mechanic or the tyre joint and the guy goes, oh my God, your tyre. You know they get really offended when you have a really bald tyre?
Yeah, but they love
your tyre. This is like the baldest. I can't believe.
Keith, come have a look at this. Look at this one. Don't embarrass me, mate. No, I just want to show. This is one of the new boys. Look at this, mate. This is the worst one I've ever seen. Take a photograph of that.
See the groove? Where is it, mate? I'm amazed you haven't blown off the road. This is like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So we've had to change it around. We've got new tyres. That'll be $800.
Yeah. Right.
I know. I did a gig for Tyre Power. The guys who own tyre shops and work in the tyre shops.
It's a television show. It's a reality show.
The difference between the guys that own the shops and the guys that work in the shops is a bit of a difference. Man, they drank a lot too.
Hang on. You can't say that. What do you mean they drank a lot? What, on the job?
No, this is a Christmas party.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to the tyre place.
You went to the tyre. They drank a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, that is a hard job, changing tyres. Even though these days it's kind of... They've got a lot of things.
Yep.
When's the last time you changed a tyre? Can you remember?
All I know, it's sometime. There was the time that I came back from Sydney. I was at the airport and I had a flat tyre. And then I open my car up, no jack. So I've got to ring the RACV.
And then how do you explain where you are in the airport?
Well, that wasn't so bad. The fact was I was standing there. A lot of people were driving past going, oh, Russell Coyne doesn't even know how to change the tyre on his own car.
Yeah.
I'm going, Jack, come back. I'm a real man. Please, come back.
I got one last year in the bottom of Etihad Stadium after a football game.
Oh, you would have broken out into a sweat?
With the whole family. And I'm just driving along.
Maybe it was a letdown. Maybe it didn't like someone who didn't like the way you parked.
Nah, I reckon.
What was that? Oh, we found it, mate. It was buddy. Look at this screw we found in there. They love doing that.
Oh, yeah, they love it. They love it.
Have a look at this. Where'd you drive over that?
Screw. Right? I've got a great tyre guy. It's just near my house. He's great. And he plays classical music while he works. It's interesting.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he always shows you what happened. And he's a big... He tells about the history of tyres. History of tyres. Talks about tyres.
Oh, well, there's 10 minutes you'll never get back. But anyway. Yeah.
So I got one in the bottom of Etihad Stadium, and my partner's going to ring RACV. I couldn't get rid of it. I said, I'll just change it. I've got to show the kids.
And here's the tip. Where you put the jack, important?
Important these days.
And what do you do with the tyre once you've got it off? Here's a big one.
You put it next to the car?
You put it underneath the car because if the jack does go, it won't fall down on the axle. It'll fall onto the tyre. So if you're anywhere near, it only falls to that level. Whereas if it falls otherwise without the so it catches them.
Oh, there's nothing worse when your jack's up and the car falls off. But I mean,
but how do you get it back up again if it comes off the jack? Then you bug it completely. And then the guy turns up and goes, "What? You didn't put your tyre underneath, mate? Don't you know that? Are you an idiot? Well, I am a bit of an idiot." You are an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Hi, I'm Amelia Ball, editor of Halliday Wine Companion magazine, and you can join me for our brand new Halliday podcast as we rummage through cellars and get the expert's knowledge you need to get the most out of your cellar.
Taking a bottle of wine, putting it into a cool, dark place for a long time, crossing all your fingers and toes, and it coming out beautiful.
We recently sold one for $300,000.
Hear the Halliday Wine Companion podcast where you're listening now, or go to winecompanion.com.au.
Hey guys, my name is Sammy P and I have a great new podcast all about the weird world of online confessions. Each week I read four of these odd confessions to great guests, which has so far included Sam Neill, Judith Lucy, Stephen Curry, Sarah Snook, Wendy Harmer, Tony Martin and many, many more. The podcast is called Confessions of the Idiots and it's part of the Nearly Podcasting Network, available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm sure you could even request one at a party. Just walk up to the DJ, request Confessions of the Idiots and see all of your friends try and dance to a podcast. Anyway, I can't take up any more of your time because you have at least 42 of these to catch up on. There you go, guys. Enjoy. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Confessions of the Idiots with Sam Peterson.